Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे കർമ്മഗ്രാഹ്യ ഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയ నిర్విఘ్నైనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవం. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరదశ్చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృద యా ఆది కవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయాం. తేజోవారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషాధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మల్సరాణాం సతాం వేద్యం వాస్తవం అత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమల్భాగవదే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరే ఈశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణాల్. నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుదం పిబద భాగవదం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేదవే తావత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదం అభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరమాజుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయా తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిదిదీర్షతాం తమోంధం. సంసారినాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేల్. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకునిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారేర్ మధురిం న కణికాపి కాపికాభీం. నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోల్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమ. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేషమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురదో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. సో లాస్ట్ సండే వీ వర్ డిస్కసింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఎయిత్ క్యాంటో of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where at the very end of the 8th canto, Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj about the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Matsya, or the fish incarnation. So, when the King Satyavrata, who was the witness to this fish incarnation, had a desire to see what a pralayam or devastation is like. In other words, throughout the Shastram, throughout the Bhagavatam, you will find, especially in the 12th canto, there is a description of the different kinds of devastations, what happens at the end of Lord Brahma's life, and at different instances, at the end of day of Lord Brahma, and Nityam, Naimityam, Prakritam, Atyandiyam. Like that, there are different kinds of devastations mentioned. And because King Satyavrata was very well known, very well versed in the Shastram, he wanted to experience what one of these devastations will look like. So it was this desire that he started praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it was to fulfill that desire that this particular incarnation has happened. Malsa incarnation or fish incarnation has happened to fulfill that desire of the king to experience what a pralayam or a devastation will look like. So in that process, Krishna has also arranged so many other things along with it. That if you remember, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we were discussing the story of Varahamurti, Lord Varaham. Varaham came in the form of a boar, and there you will see how Varaham has, or the boar incarnation of Krishna, has looked after Mother Earth in top of the tusk. He kept, Varaham became so big, and in the Kashal Ocean, when he was moving around, he was carrying on that tusk, the Mother Earth. And Krishna has shown his affection to the Mother Earth in that way, in the Varaha incarnation. Here, you will see in another way, the same Bhumi Devi has taken the form of the boat when she came there on the seventh day, when the devastation happens. Bhumi Devi took the form of a boat, or the Mother Earth took the form of a boat and came over along with the seven sages, carrying the seven sages. The boat, the shape of the boat was Bhumi Devi herself, took that form and carried the seven sages and brought them to Satyavrata, King Satyavrata. And Satyavrata was asked to jump into the boat, and then they started the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that process, that Krishna decided this time that in a different way he wanted to show his affection to Mother Earth. So that is why in the Varaha incarnation, he carried Mother Earth on the tusk. In the fish incarnation, he tied Mother Earth to one of his fins and started dragging him in the water all around. That golden fish, that was the form of Krishna, that who appeared in the fish incarnation, started dragging Mother Earth tied to one of his fins and all around in the water. So you can see Krishna's affection for Mother Earth has not started yesterday or today. It has been there for since time immemorial. Just like we learned in the case of Varaha incarnation, what did we learn? A very important lesson Vedavyasa Maharshi through the Varaha incarnation informed us. That is, this Mother Earth, whose property is that? This is the first question. Mother Earth is, everybody is claiming from since long, long time that this Mother Earth is mine. They all come here, isn't it? They all come here and they all claim, this is mine. This is mine. This is what everybody throughout history, you will see that this one claim was always there. Somehow or the other, this Mother Earth has that attraction that everybody wants her. That attraction for her has been there since a long, long time. So, it is in that, actually this whole thing started with Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha said first time that Mother Earth is mine. This Bhumi Devi is mine, he said. He put the claim on Mother Earth. And from then on, throughout the history, if you like, right up to today, has anything changed? Nothing has changed, has it? That the claim on the earth, everybody, and you can look through in the modern history, Hitler, Napoleon and onwards, and everyone, all these big, big empires, they were fighting wars over it, on the pretext of what? That this Mother Earth is mine, is ours. It's our land, ours. But Krishna is saying here, right from Varaha onwards, appearance onwards, she doesn't belong to any one of you, it's mine. That is Krishna's claim. Our claim is, no, it's ours. And Bhumi Devi, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, there is a very, very nice way she presented about this story. She says, all these people come, they jump on my chest for some while, and then they die and go. And they are saying that I am hers, I am theirs. Has anybody done different in this world? Is it not the same story all the time happened? So Mother Earth is saying there, Bhumi Devi, she has accused everybody in that verse. In the few verses she said, Vishwamitra, Regu, Dilipa, Parashuram, no one she has left out in that list. She is talking about the big, big emperors who have ruled this planet for a long, long time before. And she has listed all of them and she says, all of them has claimed, I am theirs. But I don't belong to any one of them. That's her attitude. Shridhara Shlishta Parshvam. That Krishna is actually has in the four-handed form of Vishnu, he holds both of them on sides. On the one side Shri, on the other side Dhara. Shri Dhara Shlishta Parshvam. On the one side is Mahalakshmi, on the other side is Bhumi Devi. Krishna is holding both of them tightly and saying, they don't belong to any one of you, it is mine. So if something is not clear to our these great, great leaders who are still thinking that we have to get rid of so many people because it's ours, ours, mine, mine. If that mind thinking has to go, nothing is ours, everything belongs to Krishna. And that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it started, the first person who made this claim against Mother Earth is Hiranyaksha. And from then on it started and it has continued and it will continue forever. And that is the way history is. So here, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when this incident happened, that you will find here, that Krishna is dragging Mother Earth throughout the ocean, along with the seven sages, and with the king Satyavrata. And in that process, they also understood that Krishna has considered Mother Earth as a part of his property. It is his property, Krishna's property. And like this, that thing happens. If you want to know more about the incarnation of this fish, if you want to know more about it, Vedavyasa Maharshi has written a separate Puranam for that, which is known as Matsya Puranam, or the Puranam related to the Matsya incarnation. Similarly, there are also Puranams. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, unlike in the Matsya Puranam, it's a very much summarized version of this appearance. And similarly, there is the incarnation related to Vamana also, which is Vamana Puranam, runs into 14,000-15,000 verses. And similarly, all the other incarnation also, Narasimha Puranam is there, Kurma Puranam is there, and Varaha Puranam is there. So different Puranas discuss elaborately these different appearances of Krishna in different incarnations. But here, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Shukan had only one intention, to tell Parikshit Maharaj what these different incarnations have appeared for and in which time they have appeared, so that just to give an insight to Parikshit to know that these are the previous incarnations of Krishna, previous times how Krishna has appeared in this world. So last time, as I mentioned before, that these incarnations which Krishna has appeared before has a lot of significance, because it is through these incarnations we understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is through these incarnations, because it's Krishna who has come in different forms at different times. And while compiling Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Shukana also, Sukadeva Goswami also had this in mind, that he explained different incarnations prior to moving on to describing about who is Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So before discussing Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami wanted to discuss all the incarnations. So right up to now, at the end of 8th canto, we finished the story of the incarnation of the Malsyam or the fish incarnations. So the greatest devotee of Krishna, one of the greatest devotees, Jayadeva Goswami, compiled Gita Govindam. And when he compiled Gita Govindam also, the beginning itself, he has not forgotten to mention who is Krishna. If anybody has any doubt about Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they should read and hear from Jayadeva Goswami what he wanted to say about Krishna. That if anybody has any misconception that Krishna is also another incarnation like many others, to alleviate or to remove that doubt from their mind, he compiled this, specifically this song known as Dashavataram. Dashavataram means the 10 major incarnations of Krishna. Krishna has millions and millions of incarnations. One time, somebody asked Krishna. It was nobody else. Mujugunda. Mujugunda's story probably you know in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mujugunda was a great personality, a king who fought wars in the heavenly planets. He got tired there. So at the end of the war, he asked the demigods, I want some benedictions from you. Now that I have done so much for you, what are you going to do for me? They said. He said to them, the demigods told Mujugunda that what do you want from us? Mujugunda asked him, can you give some extension of my lifetime or increase my lifespan? They said, no, that's not possible for us. We don't have any capacity to do that. But then Mujugunda said, what's the use then? All I can tell you now is I'm very, very tired. I should go and sleep now somewhere, he said. Because he was exhausted. You can remember that the 6 months of our time is one day in the heavenly planets. So he has gone there and he was fighting the wars and he was exhausted. So he came here to rest, to this world. And when he came to this planet to rest, he was sleeping in one of the one cave where he found that place is quiet, no hassle from anyone. Let me go and take rest here. That's what he thought. Just like us also, sometimes when we get too tired with the temple, we go away somewhere and have a little retreat or a relaxed mood. Nobody wants, we don't want anybody to disturb us, leave us alone, that kind of thing. So similarly, our Mujugunda also felt a little bit tired from his activities. He wanted to rest. So when Krishna arranged everything in such a way that this demon Kalayavana came there, and Mujugunda was given a benediction that if anybody disturbs his sleep, if he opens his eyes and sees him, immediately he will be burned into ashes. So Kalayavana was fighting with Krishna. Krishna dragged him all the way into Mujugunda's cave and left him there. The result was that Kalayavana didn't see Mujugunda was sleeping there, hit him by his feet, and Mujugunda woke up, and in his eyes, immediately Kalayavana got burned there. When Kalayavana got burned, Mujugunda woke up from his sleep and he saw Krishna there standing there. So Krishna, he asked Krishna one interesting question. In the Bhagavatam you can read that. He says to Krishna, who are you? Krishna says, my people call me as Vasudeva, he said. I'm the son of Vasudeva, he said. I see. So what brought you here? He said, I brought Mujugunda Kalayavana here so that he gets liberated from your side. So that's why I brought him here, he said. And then Mujugunda, when he understood that he is the son of Vasudeva, so Supreme Personality, he started paying his obeisances to him. And he asked Mujugunda started asking Krishna that when did you appear in this world and how many incarnations have you had before? Krishna says to Kalayavana that I don't know this incarnation. I know I have appeared as Vasudeva and Devaki's son. And they call me Krishna here, or also call me as Vasudev. But prior to that, how many incarnations have happened, I do not know. Mujugunda said, I know some of the incarnations before, but my question is, since I started sleeping, how many incarnations have happened? This was his question. Krishna says there that the fact is that Krishna says, I don't know myself how many times I have had incarnations have happened. This is what in the Bhagavatam it says. So, kalatrayobapannani janma karmani me nrupa
my dear king, how many times I have taken birth or I have appeared in this world is unknown to me. In fact, the greatest personality is Narayana Rishi. Narayana Rishi is the greatest among all the sages. And if you ask Narayana Rishi, he also says the same thing. He himself says that, I do not know how many times Krishna's incarnations have happened before. So this is the situation. Kalatrayobhavannani janmakarmani menrupa. That so there also you can see that we really do not know how many incarnations have happened. So that is why in different places in the Bhagavadam and also in the other Puranas, you will find a different number of incarnations. Like here we find 10 major incarnations which spoken by Jayadeva Goswami. In the Bhagavadam, in the beginning, in the third canto, there are 24 major incarnations spoken by Brahma, which Brahma thought as important. But apart from all that, there are many more incarnations which are not listed even in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is unlimited. It is nobody can put a number on how many times incarnations have happened. But in spite of all that, Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, Edecha Amshagala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the supreme origin of all these incarnations. It is from him all the other incarnations have happened. So this particular song written by Jayadeva Goswami is specifically important in the sense that it has been authorized and sung by the great devotees. By great devotees means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he sings this song. And when he visited various temples where Krishna's different incarnations have happened, Mahaprabhu sung this song, number one. Number two, even in the great temples, it is still a practice to sing this song after the offering is made. When the offering is made, the deity doors are closed. When the offering, everything is made, Krishna has eaten the offering. And when all the prasadam is brought out from there and the doors are open, if you look at Krishna's face, you will see a tremendous happiness there, on the smile on the face. That smile because he has been offered very nice offering. And then after Krishna has eaten, he wants to listen to music, isn't it? Just like us, it's not much different. Krishna's taste is also very good. That we also like some nice music. Only thing is we like to listen to all the garbage in this world. But Krishna's taste is that Krishna wants to hear these incarnations. So this song is specifically has been created for this purpose. So there are people who are trained in the music tradition who sing this song for the pleasure of Krishna. After the offering, to please Krishna, they sing this song. It is one of those such a famous song. So we'll just try to sing that song because it gives so much pleasure to the everybody who, and if you will bear with us, we'll just So, Dashavatara Stotram from Gita Govindam by Jayadeva Goswami. So, there are totally 10 verses, the 10 incarnations, and the 11th verse talks about who has compiled this, and 12th verse is a summary of all the 12 verses, all the 11 verses. Jayadeva Goswami has compiled that and put it into one verse. So
ప్రళయపయోధి జలేధృత వానసి వేదం విహీత వహీత్వ చరిత్రమఖేదం పయోధి జలేధృత వానసి వేదం వహీత్వ చరిత్రమఖేదం ప్రళయపయోధి జలీధృత వానసి వేదం విహీత వహీత్వ చరిత్రమఖేదం ప్రళయపయోధి జలీధృత వానసి వేదం విహీత వహీత్వ చరిత్రమఖేదం కేశవదేకాం హీన శరీర జయ జగదీశ హరే 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 ప్రళయపయోధి జలీధృత వానసి వేదం విహీత వహీత్వ చరిత్రమఖేదం ప్రళయపయోధి జలీధృత వానసి వేదం విహీత వహీత్వ చరిత్రమఖేదం కేశవదేత హీన శరీర జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే కేశవదేత హీన శరీర జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే కేశవదేత శరీర జయ జగదీశ హరే 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 క్షితిరతి విపుల కరేతి తిష్ఠతి పృష్ఠే ధరణి ధరణ కిన చక్ర గరిషే శిరతి విపుల కరేతి తిష్ఠతి పృష్ఠే ధరణి ధరణ కిన చక్ర గరిషే శిరతి విపుల కరేతి తదితవతిష్ఠే ధరణి ధరణ కిన చక్ర గరిషే శిరతి పృష్ఠే ధరణి ధరణ కిన చక్ర గరిషే కేశవదేత కచ్చప రూప జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ Jagadish Hare, Jaya Jagadish Hare, Keshava. Jai Jagadish Hare, Jai Jagadish Hare. What?
జయ జగదీశ హరే. జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే శివ పుతి విషదేవ సంగల ధావం అలధర విచిలితన్యమునాభం వహ శివ పుతి దేవ సంగల ధావం అలధన్యమునాభం వహ శివ పుతి జలధాభం హరఘర విచిలితన్యమునాభం దేవతనం జలధాభం కేశవదూత హలధర రూప హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే కేశవదూత రూప జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ జయ జగదీశ హరే జయ జగదీశ హరే
కేశవదేత
Buddha Sharira Jaya Jagadish Hare Jaya Jagadish Hare Jaya Jagadish Hare
to you. You easily acted as a boat in the form of a giant fish just to give protection to the Vedas which had become immersed in the turbulent sea of devastation. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a tortoise, all glories to you. In this incarnation as a divine tortoise, the great Mandara mountain rests upon your gigantic back as a pivot for churning the ocean of milk. From holding up the huge mountain, a large scar-like depression is put in your back, which has become most glorious. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a boar, all glories to you. The earth, which had become immersed in the Garbhodaka ocean, at the bottom of the universe, sits fixed upon the tip of your tusk, like a spot upon the moon. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a half man, half lion, all glories to you.
Just as one can easily crush a wasp between one's fingernails, so in the same way, the body of the wasp-like demon Hiranyakashipu has been ripped apart by the wonderful pointed nails on your beautiful lotus hands. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a dwarf Brahmana, all glories to you, O wonderful dwarf. By your massive steps you deceive King Bali, and by the Ganges water that has emanated from the nails of your lotus feet, you deliver all living beings within this world. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Bhrigupati, Parashuram, all glories to you. At Kurukshetra, you bathe the earth in the rivers of blood from the bodies of the demoniac Kshatriyas that you have slain. The sins of the world are washed away by you, and because of you, people are relieved from the blazing fire of material existence. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Ramachandra, all glories to you. In the battle of Lanka, you destroy the ten-headed demon Ravana and distribute his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities of the ten directions headed by Indra. This action was long desired by all of them who were much harassed by this monster. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Balarama, the wielder of the plow, all glories to you. On your brilliant white body you wear garments the color of a fresh blue rain cloud. These garments are colored like the beautiful dark hue of the river Yamuna, who feels great fear due to the striking of your plowshare. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Buddha, all glories to you. O Buddha of compassionate heart, you decry the slaughtering of poor animals performed according to the rules of Vedic sacrifice. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Kalki, all glories to you. You appear like a comet and carry a terrifying sword for bringing about the annihilation of the wicked barbarian men at the end of Kali Yuga. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed these ten different forms of incarnation, all glories to you, O readers. Please hear this hymn of the poet Jayadeva, which is most excellent, an awarder of happiness, a bestower of auspiciousness, and is the best thing in this dark world. O Lord Keshava, I offer my obeisances unto you, who appear in the form of these ten incarnations. In the form of Matsya, you rescue the Vedas, and as Kurma, you bear the Mandara mountain on your back. As Varaha, you lift the earth with your tusk, and in the form of Narasimha, you tear open the chest of the Daitya, Hiranyakashipu. In the form of Vamana, you trick the Daitya, King Bali, by asking him for only 3 steps of land, and then you take away the whole universe from him by expanding your steps. As Parashuram, you slay all of the wicked Kshatriyas, and as Ramachandra, you conquer the Rakshasa, King Ravana. In the form of Balarama, you carry a plow with which you subdue the wicked and draw toward you the river Yamuna. As Lord Buddha, you show compassion toward all the living beings' sufferings in this world. And at the end of the Kali Yuga, you appear as Kalki to bewilder the mlechas, degraded low-class men. So the last verse, Vedanuddharade Jagandivahade Bhugolamudbhiprade Daityam Darayade Balim Chalayade Kshatrakshayam Kurvade Paulastyam Jayade Halim Kalayade Karunyam Adhanvade Mlechan Murchayade Dashakritakrite Krishnaya Tubhyam Namam. So Jayadeva Goswami compiled these verses to establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you can see there that the 10 different incarnations which come from Krishna, and ultimately to Krishna, Krishna's name is not mentioned in any of them as an incarnation. And ultimately, Jayadeva Goswami concludes that Krishnaya Tubhyam Namam, that one personality who has taken all these different incarnations, so that Supreme Personality, I offer my obeisances. That is how he concludes that
that song of the Dashavataram, the 10 incarnations of Godhead. So at the end of the 8th canto, while moving on to 9th canto, the subject discussion in the 9th canto is Ishanukatha. Ishanukatha means Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanamutaya manvandaram Ishanukatha nirodho muktirashrayaha. Ishanukatha, that means the appearance of the Supreme Lord in two major incarnations, that is the beginning of the 9th canto. Because of the appearance of the Supreme Personality as Ramachandra in that 9th canto, Ishanukatha is given the title here in the 9th canto. And you can see in the 8th canto itself, Sri Shukan has given an introduction to the 9th canto. How did he do that introduction? Introduction is done like this. He says in the 8th canto, end of 8th canto, Satyavrata has come up as the son of Vivaswan or Vaivasvata Manu. In other words, from now on, I'm going to talk about the solar dynasty. That is what it means. That he is saying there that this Satyavrata, King Satyavrata, has appeared in his next life as the son of Vivaswan or the Vaivasvata Manu, as he is known as another name. Because he is the son of Vivaswan, he was known as Vaivasvata Manu. And it's also another name of him is Shraddhadeva. This name was given to him. So, you can see from the 8th canto itself, the beginning of 9th canto starts from there. The continuity is there. That the 9th canto is the discussion of this solar dynasty, which starts from this great personality called Vivasvata Manu. So, from there, when we continue in this 9th canto, there is a lot of names mentioned there. You will see throughout 9th canto, name after name after name. This son, king's name and his son's name, who is the next king, his son is the next king, son is the next king. It goes on and on and on and on. And that is because when he started talking about the solar dynasty, Sukadeva Goswami realized that I will not be able to complete the solar dynasty because there is so many members in that dynasty. And if I start talking about all their glories, Sukadeva Goswami says in the Bhagavatam, Vaktam Varshashadairabhi. It will take hundreds of years, he says. And here we have got only 2 or 3 days left in the life of the king. For the Parikshit has got only 2 or 3 days left. So I will not go into that. So he started simply mentioning the name of one king after the other. That is why the whole of 9th canto you will find, except the 3 or 4 major important incidents like Lord Ramchandra's appearance, Ambarish Maharaj's story, and also briefly mentions about to give us an introduction in the 10th canto, what is going to be discussed. Briefly the marriage of Balaram and appearance of Krishna and Balaram briefly mentioned in the 9th canto. So that is how 9th canto is. Otherwise, everything else is just a continuation of the dynasty, of the solar dynasty, starting from Vaivasvata Manu. Vaivasvata Manu was the next Manu. And it is the 7th Manu, you have to remember. In a day of Lord Brahma, there are 14 Manus. So what does that mean? When we say it is the 7th Manu, means right at this moment in time, it is almost the noon time in Brahma's planet. It's because these 7 Manus have finished. So we are on the 7th Manu's time. We are getting close to the noon time. That is why it is mentioned like that. That in Brahma's planet, in his day, he is just approaching the noon time. Just see how much difference it makes. For us here, our time limit is so small that depending on our lifespan, Krishna has given us a day also suitable for that. Depending on Lord Brahma's lifespan, Krishna has given a day for Lord Brahma like that. So everything is Krishna is structured according to the body what we have. It is not that I start thinking that I can become Lord Brahma and do what I like many people think today, that who is there to question us. No, we are all controlled by the laws of material nature. Krishna's arrangement is such in different planets, different living entities with different lifespan and different time periods. Krishna controls us with two things. One is called time. Time is Krishna's control. Nobody can do anything about it. If Krishna wants to control us, he controls us with time. And that is under Krishna's control. The second thing is Krishna has said kalam and the next is karmam. Karmam is another thing. Our karmam, Krishna says, you do what you like and you reap the results. I am not interfering into that. That is Krishna's attitude. So kalam and karmam, with these two things, Krishna is able to control us so nicely, and we cannot, we are totally helpless about it. So this is the situation. So this Vaivasvata Manu, who became the first king, he had, she was known as Shraddadeva, and he has his wife's name was Shraddha. And from this Shraddha, for a long, long time, they didn't have any children. So for the kings, it's a great anxiety, because in a democracy, there is no anxiety. If you get rid of one, there is another one ready to climb in, jump in straight away. And all you have to do is to mobilize voters for a few months, banging the drum and glorifying all these leaders, how great they are, how much tax they are going to reduce after the election. And all these beautiful promises, this is our beautiful method of electing the leader. But unfortunately, in the Vedic system, when the kings were ruling, the Kshatriya kings had this one concern, that who will continue the dynasty afterwards. So naturally, Shraddhadeva was also concerned about it. So he told this to his, at that time, Vasishtha was the Purohit, or the spiritual master, who advised him on everything. So on instructions from Vasishtha, when Vasishtha Muni instructed Shraddhadeva that it is better to perform a sacrifice and a child will be born from that. So the king was pleased, because they knew the technology of having children in the proper way. They didn't have to go through these modern systems where everything is so complicated. And apart from that, sometimes whether to laugh or cry, you don't know what to say. Some of the things what happens after the modern methods of artificial ways of increasing the progeny. Anyway, that Vasishtha Muni advised Shraddhadeva that we should perform a sacrifice. Sacrifice was arranged. Now in the Vedic sacrifices, there are four personalities who have got a major role in the sacrifice. In all the Putragamishti and so many other sacrifices, it's like that. When King Dasharatha wanted children, he performed Putragamishti. And you will also find earlier another king who performed Putragamishti. That is, we read in the fourth canto. So like this, Putragamishti was a system. But here it is not mentioned what sacrifice was performed. Something similar to Putragamishti was performed by the king, Shraddhadeva, to have children. So in that sacrifice, there are four personalities as mentioned, Hodhava, Advaryu, Ritvik and Brahman. These are the four major participants in the sacrifice. Out of that, the Hodhava is the personality who chants the mantras, and Advaryu is the personality who makes the form of the sacrificing animal. In other words, many instances, they will not sacrifice an animal, rather they will make an animal's form with rice flour mixed with other things, and in that animal is used for the sacrifice purpose, just to avoid the killing of the animal. So for this reason, Hodhav and Advaryu, they are the two important persons. And Vasishtha Muni instructed them, and the king desired to have a son, and Vasishtha Muni told them to perform the sacrifice. But somehow or the other, in the middle, just before the sacrifice started, the queen wanted to have a girl. She didn't want a son at that time. For some reason, it has happened like that. So she went up to the Hodhav and told him that she would like to have a daughter. So Hodhav thought that after all, the queen is requesting this, so he couldn't refuse it. So on that sangalpam, or in other words, on that understanding, the mantras were chanted. And neither Vasishtha Muni nor the king was aware of this. They were thinking that automatically a son will be born, because in the natural course, that was what the intention was. But the queen, somehow or the other, desired to have a daughter. And she requested for a daughter. So this happened, and when the sacrifice was over, when the sacrificial fire came up, this daughter. And when it happened like that, the daughter was born. King was very much surprised. King couldn't believe it, that the Vedic mantras have failed, he said to Vasishtha. Vasishtha said, mantras don't fail, he said. These mantras cannot fail. There is no question of mantras failing. Something else has failed, he said. So he started an investigation. Through his jnana drishti, that means through his divine vision, all these great sages can see things even without probing into it too much. With their third eye as we call it. That means, why we say like that is, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, that means wake up state, dream state and deep sleep. These three states, the living entity keeps going up and down. This is our existence normally. But when you have crossed these three states, there is another state known as the Samadhi or Turiyavastha, where they are freed from the three conditioned existence. And all the great sages have the capacity to move on to that stage. And in that stage, they can see things in a different way than the way we see things. So Vasishtha Muni immediately started thinking, and he could see at that time what has happened. Actually, the queen has requested for a girl, and the mantras were chanted with that concept in the mind. And that is why the result has come like this. So there's nothing surprising about it. So Vasishtha Muni told the king Shraddhadeva or Vaivasvata Manu, this is what has happened. And there is nothing we can do now. The girl is born. So king felt very depressed. He felt very depressed because he thought that after performing the sacrifice, that this was the result. Actually, he wanted to hand over the kingdom to the son, and as soon as he grew up and retire from that to the forest, and that was his goal. Vasishtha Muni told him, "Don't worry, I have method of changing this girl into a boy," and that is what he did immediately. By his tapashakti, or the power of austerities and penances. These sages are not ordinary people. Vishwamitra and Vasishtha and all that, they were such powerful personalities. Just by the power of their penances and austerities, Vasishtha Muni prayed to Mahavishnu and requested the Supreme Lord to change him into a boy. And accordingly, Krishna agreed, and he was changed. His name was changed, and he also was changed into a boy's body. So from a female body, he came into a male's body. The king was happy now. At least the son has come, now he's growing up. And his name was Sudyumna. Sudyumna was the name given to him. So Sudyumna started growing up in the palace. And in due course, Sudyumna became a youth. So when he became a young man, naturally the Kshatriya tendencies was to go and hunt in the forest. So Sudyumna wanted to go to the forest, and he was supplied with fine horses. Accordingly, he took up the horses, and with a group of people, he started hunting. So hunting from Sindhu Desham, it says, that is a modern Sindh, as it says, he started going towards the north, other side of the Himalayas, and many places he was going around. And in that, unfortunately, what happened was, in this expedition, or hunting expedition, along with the horses and all with his associates, he got into a place known as Ilavrata Varsham. This Ilavrata Varsham we saw in the fifth canto. It is the abode of Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati. They live there. Their presence is there. And the agreement is that on Sri Parvati's request, Lord Shiva has made this rule that anyone who enters into Ilavrata Varsham immediately will be turned into a woman's body. So just see the destiny of people. That our Sudyumna, previously born as a girl, by Krishna's grace turned into a boy. Now Sudyumna goes there with the horse and all his associates, everybody goes into Ilavrata Varsham. When he gets in there, what happens? Everyone, they started looking at each other. What did they see? They did not know what to say to each other. Because all of them, including the horse, became a female. And not only the prince or the associates are gone with him, including the horse, everyone became a female there in Ilavrata Varsham. This is the agreement. Sri Parvati has asked for this, and Lord Shiva has given this condition. Already agreed, so there was nothing he could do about it. So our beautiful Sudyumna, who is now a girl, started wandering around Ilavrata Varsham, changed his name into Ila. So he became Ila, and Ila was wandering around in the Ilavrata Varsham, and like a beautiful girl, she was so beautiful that she enjoyed all her friends as the associates, the servant maids, they were with her, and they were enjoying the Ilavrata Varsham and seeing Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati there. But once it so happened that in the Ilavrata Varsham, this is the interesting part of it. It is from this body of Sudyumna or Ila that the lunar dynasty has begun. That is why it is so significant. Chandra Vamsham, as it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Soma Vamsham and Surya Vamsham. Or in other words, lunar dynasty and the solar dynasty. Kadido Vamsha Vistaro Bhagavan Soma Suryayo. Sri Parikshit, Parikshit Maharaj will ask in the 10th canto beginning to Sri Shuka Maharshi that please tell me about these two dynasties. You have told us about the solar dynasty. Now you tell me about the lunar dynasty. And that lunar dynasty begins from here, from this Ila. How did that happen? Once it so happened that the predominating deity of the moon planet, moon god, Chandra had a son by name Buddha. This Buddha, he was a very, very intelligent person. Intelligent, not all intelligent, because that is why that name was given to him. Buddha was a, means Buddhi. Buddhi is intelligence. Because of his high level of intelligence, he was given the name as Buddha. Buddha was born for Chandra in an illicit relationship. That is also interesting to note. That Brihaspati, the teacher of the demigods, his wife's name was Tara. In one instance, when Brihaspati was away, Tara had an association with Chandra. And from that relationship, Buddha was born. So this Buddha, who is son of Chandra, or the moon, demigod, has seen our Sudyumna in the female form and got attracted to her, to Ila. So from that relationship between this Ila or Sudyumna in the female form and Chandra's son Buddha, a son was born. He was such a son. You will see, if you want to know about that son, even Krishna respects him so much. Why? Because in the Ekadasha Skandam of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, Krishna quotes this Pururavas as an example to follow. From Pururava's life, there is so much to learn. And his name was Pururavas, the son who was born for Buddha in this lady called Ila, or Sudyumna, who became Ila. From that relationship, Pururavas was born. There is not much mention about Pururavas now. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Pururava's story is spoken by Krishna himself to Uddhava. And that is why it makes it so interesting, which we will see when we get there. But for the moment, we'll remember that is the beginning of the lunar dynasty or Chandra Vamsham. So here now what happens, result of this was that she is living as Ila there. Again, crisis in the palace. The king has got problem now. This has happened. They came to know what has happened. The king started thinking, what a destiny this is. That with a lot of effort, we turned him from female form to male form. Now he has again gone back into female form. So we asked Vasishtha Muni again, what to do now? Earlier, with Mahavishnu's help, we changed him back to boy. Now it is under Lord Shiva's shelter. What do we do now? So Vasishtha Muni said, I will ask Lord Shiva what can be done. So Vasishtha Muni immediately started glorifying Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said to him that there's not a lot I can do about this. The very best I can do is that I have given already the word to Sri Parvati that anyone who has come here has to stay as a woman. So now on, what I can do is, for 1 month he can stay as a male form. Another month he can stay as a female body, in the female body. This is what Lord Shiva said. This is the best you can have. If you want, you can take it, he said to Vasishtha. Vasishtha came back and told the king like that. King said, all right, whatever it is, we'll take it like that. So it was agreed. So when he is Sudyumna, he is the prince, he'll come here to the palace and rule the country, rule the planet from there for 1 month. And then next month, at that time, he is a king and he has got his wife and he has got his children also. But in the next month, he has to go and become Buddha's wife. And then when he is in the form of the female body in Ilavrata Varsham. So it went on for a while. After some time, all the people who were ruled by this king started complaining. This is not good. That how can you imagine all the time your prime minister is changing body from male to female? So this is what was happening. So at the end, it was decided that we will do one thing. These both things are problems for me. He said, I am neither male nor female. Who says this male and female? It is only in this body you have this problem. So once you give up this body, male body or female body, I am spirit soul. I have nothing to do with all these things. This realization came to Sudyumna very strongly. He gave up these different bodies, went to the forest, profound penances, went back to the spiritual world. That's what he did. He got out of this entanglement altogether. So you can see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the ninth canto beginning itself is this way, that the story of Sudyumna. And then what happened now, fortunately, Shraddhadeva or Vaivasvata Manu, who had no children, by none, he was so fortunate, he had 10 sons one after the other. 10 boys were born after that. Beginning with who? Beginning with Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku was the first king. So from then on, from Ikshvaku begins the solar dynasty or the Surya Vamsham begins from there. And then we had all the great, great personalities in that. Raghu. Raghu was a powerful king. That is Lord Ramchandra's great, great grandfather. And then there was this Raghu story is such that Kalidas wrote a book known as the Raghu Vamsham, the dynasty of Raghu, in which Raghu is glorified so much. And because Lord Ramachandra is born in Raghu's family or Raghu's dynasty, he is known as, another name is Raghava. Raghava name came to Lord Ramachandra because he was born in the family of Raghu lineage. And then there is another great king called Dilip. Dilip was another great personality. Ikshvaku, Raghu, Dilip, all of them, ultimately Dasharath, and then Lord Ramchandra. That is how we move into the history. So you can see there that the solar dynasty comes from like this from Ikshvaku. Lunar dynasty comes from Pururavas onwards. The next other lunar dynasty begins, which will come at the end of ninth canto. It will be discussed in later. And then later on to King Yayadi, Yadu, and ultimately appearance of the Supreme Lord Krishna in that. So in the solar dynasty, Lord Ramchandra appeared. In the lunar dynasty, Krishna has appeared. So these are the two major appearances which are referred to in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So why did this Ilavrata Varsham become like this? Once it so happened that Sri Parvati was engaged in a relationship with Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was sitting naked, with Sri Parvati was also naked, sitting on his lap. And at that time, unfortunately, some great, great sages who used to visit Lord Shiva to be instructed on the transcendental knowledge. Lord Shiva has this special position given to him as the authority of the impersonalist, authority on the impersonalist knowledge or Brahman realizations, or the those personalities who study the impersonal Brahman, they take instructions. Like all these great sages like Vasishtha, Vishwamitra and all that, all of them, they are all more or less has been given the knowledge by Lord Shiva. They approach Lord Shiva to understand what is known as Brahma Vidya. That is the knowledge imparted to them. So generally, sages visit Lord Shiva. And on one occasion, when a group of sages came to see Lord Shiva, unfortunately, when they came in, this was the situation. Lord Sri Parvati was sitting on Lord Shiva's lap and she was not wearing any clothes. And when they saw that, they felt that they have committed an offense. And immediately, in fact, it is considered to be highly offensive when a relationship exists like that between, even in other species also. The sages decided immediately to leave there and go to Narayana Rishi's ashram, where Brahmacharya is given a lot more importance. So they went to Narayana Rishi's ashram from there, and they stayed there for a while, performing penances for the offenses they have made to Lord Shiva by going there without prior notice. And they felt upset about it, and they spent a lot of time in Narayana Rishi's ashram. Sri Parvati, after this incident, took clothes and wore it, and after that said to Lord Shiva that there has to have some change in these rules here, because otherwise people keep coming as and when they like, and they disturb my life here. So it was decided on Lord Shri Parvati's request that Shiva has agreed, and from then on that Ilavrata Varsham will be maintained in this way. Anybody who enters into Ilavrata Varsham at any time will be immediately converted into a female body. So this is how that incident happened. That is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam, briefly in the introduction to the ninth canto, generally covers these topics in the to the introduction to the solar dynasty, and after that the dynasty begins from then on, which will take it on next Sunday. But prior to that, I'd just like to read one chapter at least from the Srimad Bhagavatam where we have stopped last Sunday. Shri Shuka Uvacha, this is the 8th canto, chapter 23rd. We have not completed even the Vamana story. So that's the last chapter of the Vamana Avataram, Vamana's appearance. And then there is one more chapter, 24th chapter, which is the appearance of the fish incarnation. And with that, the 8th canto finishes. So we'll read the 23rd chapter. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Ityuktavandam purisham puradhanam mahanubhavo kila sadhu sammada. ബദ്ധാഞ്ജലിർബാഷ്പകുലാകുലേക്ഷണു ഭക്തുൽഗലോ ഗൽഗതയാ ഗിരാബ്രവീൽ ബലിരുവാച അഹോ പ്രണാമായ കൃതസമുദ്യമ പ്രപന്ന ഭക്താർത്ഥവിധോ സുമാഹിത യല്ലോകവാലൈ സദനുഗ്രഹോമരൈ അലബ്ധപൂർവോപസവരേ സുരേർപ്പിതാഹ ശ്രീശുകവാച ഇത്യുക്ത്വാ ഹരിമാനമ്യ ബ്രഹ്മാണം സംഭവം തദാ സഭവം തദാ വിവേശസുതലം പ്രീതോ നിർമുക്ത സഹാസുരൈ ഏവമിന്ദ്രായ ഭഗവാൻ പ്രത്യാനി എത്ര വിഷ്ണവം പുരയിത്വാതിരേകാമശാസൽ സകലം ജഗൽ ലബ്ധപ്രസാദം നിർമുക്തം പൗത്രം വംശധരം ഫലിം നിശാമ്യ ഭക്തിപ്രവണം പ്രഹ്ലാദമിതമബ്രവീൽ പ്രഹ്ലാദ വാച നിയമം വിരിഞ്ചോലപദേ പ്രസാദം നശൈ നശർവക്കിമുദാപരേതി എന്നോ അസുരാണാമസി ഭൂർഗവാലോ വിശ്വാഭിവന്ദൈരവിവന്ദിതാംഘ്രി യൽപാദവത്മം മകരന്ദ നിഷേവണീന ബ്രഹ്മാദയ ശരണദാശ്നുവദേ വിഭൂതി കസ്മാദ്വയം കുസൃതയഘരയോ നയസ്തേ ദാക്ഷിണ്യ ദൃഷ്ടിപദവീം ഭവദ പ്രണീതാഹ ചിത്രം തവേഹിതമഹോമിത യോഗമായ ലീലാവിസൃഷ്ടഭുവനസ്യ വിശാരദസ്യ സർവാത്മനാ സമദൃശോ വിഷമസ്വഭാവോ ഭക്തപ്രിയോ യരസി കൽപതരു സ്വഭാവ ശ്രീഭഗവാൻ വാച വത്സ പ്രഹ്ലാദഭദ്രം നേ പ്രയാഹി സുതലാലയം മോദമാനം സ്വഭക്തൈനാജ്ഞാദീനാം സ്വമുഖമാവഹ നിത്യം ദ്രഷ്ടാസി മാം നത്ര ഗദാവാണിമവസ്ഥിതം മദ്ദർശന മഹാഹ്ലാദദ്വസ്തകർമനിബന്ധന ശ്രീശുകവാച ആജ്ഞാം ഭഗവതോ രാജൻ പ്രഹ്ലാദോ ബലിനാസഃ ഭാടമിത്യമലപ്രജ്ഞോ മൂർധ്നാഥായ കൃതാഞ്ജലി പരിക്രമ്യാദിപുരുഷം സർവാസുരജമുപതി പ്രണതസ്തതനുജ്ഞാനം പ്രവിവേശമഹാബിലം സദാഹോ അശനസംരാജൻ ഹരിർ നാരായണോന്തികേ ആസീനമൃത്യുജാ മധ്യേ സദസി ബ്രഹ്മവാദിനാം ബ്രഹ്മൻ സന്തനു ശിഷ്യസ്യ കർമ്മ ഛിദ്രം വിധന്വത യത്തൽ കർമ്മ സുവൈഷമ്യം ബ്രഹ്മദൃഷ്ടം സമം ഭവേൽ ശുക്രവാച കുതസ്ഥൽ കർമ്മ വൈഷമ്യം യസ്യ കർമ്മേശ്വരോ ഭവാൻ യജ്ഞേശോ യജ്ഞപുരുഷാ സർവഭാവേന പൂജിതാം മന്ത്രദസ്തദ്രശ്ചിദ്രം ദോഷോ ദേശകാലാർഹ വസ്തുത സർവം കരോതി നിശ്ചിദ്രം നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം തവാം തഥാപി വദതോ ഭൂമൻ കരിഷ്യാമ്യനുശാസനം ഏതശ്രയപരമ്പം സാമ്യൽ തവാജ്ഞാനുലാപാലനം ശ്രീശുകവാച അഭിനന്ദ ഹരേ ആജ്ഞാമുഷണാ ഭഗവാനിതി യജ്ഞഛിദ്രം സമാദത്ത ബലേർവിപർശുവി സഹ ഏവം ബലേർമഹീം രാജൻ ഭിക്ഷിത്വാ വാമനോ ഹരി ദഭോ ഭ്രാത്രേ മഹേന്ദ്രായ ത്രിദിവം യൽ പരേർഹൃതം പ്രജാപതിവതർ ബ്രഹ്മാദേവർഷി പിതൃഭൂമി ഭൈ ദുദക്ഷഭൃംഗ അംഗിരോ മുഖേ കുമാരേണ ഭവേനജാം കശ്യപസ്യാദിദേ പ്രീത്യൈ സർവഭൂതാഭവായ ലോകാനാം ലോകപാലാനാം അകുരോദ്വാമനം പതിം വേദാനാം സർവദേവാനാം ധർമ്മസ്യ ശശ്രിയ മംഗളാനാം പ്രദാനാം ച കൽപ്പം സ്വർഗാവവർഗയോ ഉപേന്ദ്രം കൽപ്പയാൻ ചക്രേ പതിം സർവവിഭൂതയേ തദാ സർവാണി ഭൂതാനി ദൃപൃശം മുദിരേ നൃപാം തതസ്തിന്ദ്ര പുരസ്കൃത്യ ദേവയാനീന വാമനം ലോകപാലേർദിവ്യം നിന്യേ ബ്രഹ്മണാ ചാനുമോദിതാഹ പ്രാപ്യ ത്രിഭുവനം ചേന്ദ്ര ഉപേന്ദ്രഭുജപാലിത ശ്രിയാ പരമയാ ജുഷ്ടോ മോദേ ഗതസാധ്വസ ബ്രഹ്മാ ശർവകുമാരശാ ഭൃഗ്വാദ്യാ മുനയോ നൃവ പിതരാ സർവഭൂതാനി സിദ്ധ വൈമാനികാശ്ചയേ സുമഹൽ കർമ്മ വിഷ്ണുർഗായന്ത പരമാത്ഭുതം ദൃഷ്ണ്യാനി സ്വാനിരേ ജഗദ്മുരതിം ജഗ്മുരതിം ദിദിം ജശംസിരേ സർവമേതന്മയാഖ്യാതം ഭവതകുലനന്ദന ഉരുക്രമസചരിതം ശോർണാമഖമോചനം പാരം മഹിമുരു വിക്രമദോ ഗൃണാനോ യ പാർത്ഥിവാനിവമേ സരജാംസിമർത്യാഹ
kim jayamana mudajada mubaydi martya iti aham andadrakrishi purushasya yasyam aidam devadevasya hare albudagarmana avadara anujaridam shrunyadi parangadim kriyamane karmani idam deive pitre edhamanushe yatra yatra anukirtyeda taltesham surdam vidu Shriman Bhagavati Mahabrani Paramahamsyam Samhitayam Ashtamaskande Vamana Avatara Jari Triyovimshodhyaya Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda. We have 5 minutes. We'll just finish the last chapter also. 24. Shri Raja Vajam, this is the appearance of the fish. Bhagavan Shodamichami Hare Ralbuda Karmana Avatara Kadhamadhyamaya Amalsavidambanam. Yadat yadartham adadat drubam malsyam loka yugupsidam tamapragati durmarsham karmagrastam iveshwaram yadanno bhagavan sarvam yadavadvaktumarhasi uttama shlovairidam sarvaloka subhavaham sudavaja ityukto vishnuradina bhagavan bhadarayani vajaridam vishno malsirubena yalkritam shreshuvavaja goviprasrasadhunam chandasam iveshwara Rakshamicham sanurdate dharmasyartha sevahi Uchavajeshu bhudeshu charanvayirveshwaranno chavajatvamajade nirgasatvadiyogunai Asidadidakalpande brahmo naimitigolaya Samudropapladastatralogo bhuradriyo nirva Kalena agnindrasyadadushashishorbali Ukhado nisrudan vedan hayagrivondikeharal Nyatvatadhanavendrasya hayagrivasajeshtidam Dadharashabarirupam bhagavan haririshwara Tatrayajakushikaschilnamna satyapradomahan Narayanavaro ശ്രാദ്ധദേവമിരിക്കാതോ മനുത്വേ ഹരിനാർപ്പിതാം ഏകദാകൃതമാലയം കുറുവതോ ജലതർപ്പണം തസ്യാഞ്ജലിദേകോച്ചിൽ കാച്ചിൽ ശബരീകാഭ്യപദ്യതാം സത്യവ്രതോഞ്ജലികതാം സഹതോ ഏന ഭാരത ഉൽസസൽ ഉൽസസർജ്ജതീതോ ഏ ശബരീം ദ്രവിഡേശ്വരാം തമാഹസ സാധികരണം മഹാകാരുണികം നൃപം യാതോഭ്യോജ്ഞാദികാദിഭ്യോധീനാം അബ്ദീനവത്സലാഖം വിസൃജസേരാജൻ വീദാമസ്മിൻ സരിജ്ജനെ നമാത്മനോനുഗ്രഹാർത്ഥം പ്രീത്യാ മത്സ്യമബുദ്ധരം അജാനനക്ഷണാർത്ഥായ ശബരിയാസമനോധനേ തസ്യാദീനതരം വാക്യമാശ്രുത്യ സമഹീപതി കുലശാപ്സിധായേനാം ദയാലുർനിന്യമാശ്രമം സാധു അത്രൈകരാത്രേണ വർദ്ധമാനകമണ്ഡലോ അലബ്ധോ ആത്മാവകാശം വാ ഇദമാഹമഹീപതിം നാഹം കമണ്ഡലാമസ്മിൻ കൃച്ഛ്രം വസ്തുഭിഹോത്സവേ കൽപ്പയോഗസ്വീബലം യത്രാഹം നിവസേ സുഖം സ ഏനാം ധനമാദായ നാഥോ ഔദഞ്ചനോദഗേ തത്രക്ഷിപ്തമുഹൂർത്തേനഹസ്തത്രയമവർദ്ധതാ രാജൻ സുഖം വസ്തുമുദഞ്ജനം പൃഥു ദേഹിപദം മഹ്യം യൽ ത്വാഹം ശരണം ഗദാ തദമാദായ സാരാജ്ഞ ക്ഷിപ്താ രാജ്ഞൻ സരോവരെ തദാവൃത്യാത്മന സ്വയം മഹാമീനോ അന്യുവർദ്ധത നൈതന്മേ സ്വസ്ഥൈ രാജനുദകം സലിലൗകസ നിദേഹി രക്ഷയാ യോഗേന ഹൃദയ മാമവിദാസിനി ഇത്യുക്ത സ്വനേന്മത്സ്യം തത്ര തത്ര വിദാസിനി ജനാശയേ സംവിദം സമുദ്രേ പ്രാക്ഷിപം ജഷം ക്ഷിപ്യമാണസ്തമഹ ആഹേദമിഹ മാം മകരാദയ അതന്ത്യതിമലാവീരമാം നോഹോൽ സ്രഷ്ടുമർഹസി ഏവം വിമോഹിതസ്തേന വദദാവൽഗുവാരതിം തമാഹോ ഭവാനസ്മാൽ മത്സ്യരൂപേണ മോഹയൻ നൈവം വീര്യോ ജലജരോ ദൃഷ്ടോസ്മാവിശുതോ ബിജ യോ ഭവാൻ യോജനശതമഹാഭിവ്യാനശേസര നൂനം ത്വം ഭഗവാൻ സാക്ഷാർദരി നാരായണോ വേയമനുഗ്രഹായ ഭൂതാനാം ധൽസേ രൂപം ജലോകസാം നമസ്തേ പുരുഷശ്രേഷ്ഠാം തുൽപത്യപേശ്വരാഭക്താനാം പ്രപന്നാനാം മുഖ്യോ ആത്മഗതിർവിഭോ സർവേ ലീലാവതാരാസ്തേ ഭൂതാനാം ഭൂതിഹേ തവ ജ്ഞാതുമിച്ഛാമ്യതോ രൂപം യഥാർത്ഥം ഭവദാദൃതം അതേന രവിന്ദാക്ഷപദോപസർപ്പണം ഷാഭവേൽ സർവസുഹൃൽപ്രിയാത്മന യഥേതരേഷാം പ്രതകാത്മനാം സദാ മതീദൃശോ യദ്വപുരത്ഭുതം ഹിന ശ്രീശുഭവാചാം ഇതി ബ്രവാണം നൃപതിം ജഗൽപതിം സത്യപ്രദം മത്സ്യോവിദ്യകക്ഷയേ വിഹർത്തുകാമ പ്രളയാർണവേ ബ്രവീചികീഷുരേ കാന്തജനപ്രിയ പ്രിയം ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച സപ്തമേദ്യതനാധൂർത്തമഹന്യേ തദരിന്ദമ നിമംക്ഷത്യപ്പയാം ഭൂതോ ത്രൈലോക്യം ഭൂർഭുവാദികം ത്രിലോക്യം ലീയമാനായം സംവർത്താം ഭസിത വൈ തദാ ഉപസ്ഥാസ്തിനാം നൗകാചിൽ വിശ്വാല വിശാലത്വമയേരിതാം ത്വം താവദോഷധി സർവാബീജാൻ ഉച്ചാവചാനി ച സപ്തർഷി വിപരിവൃതാ സർവസത്വോപബ്രംഹിതാം ആരുഹ്യ ബൃഹദീം നാമം വിജരിഷ്യസ്യ വിക്ലവ ഏകാർണവേ നിരാലോകേ കൃഷീണാമേവ വർച്ചസാം ധോതൂയമാനാം താം നാവം സമീരേണ ബലീയസ ഉപസ്ഥിതസ്യ മേ ശൃംഗേ നിബദ്നീഹി മഹാഹിന അഹം ത്വാമൃഷ വിസ്രാഗം സഹനാമുദന്വതി വികർഷൻ വിചരിഷ്യാമി യാവൽ ബ്രാഹ്മിനിഷാ പ്രഭോ మదీయమహిమానం జపరం బ్రహ్మేది శబ్దిదం వేల్సనుగృహీతం మే సంప్రశ్నేర్ వివిధం హృది ఇథవాదిశ రాజానం హరిరందర దీయత స్వర్ణవేక్షదమం కాలమ్యం హృషీకేశమాదిశ ఆస్తీర్యదర్భాన్ ప్రాకూలన్ రాజర్షి ప్రావుదం ముఖ నిషసాద హరే పాదో చిందయన్ మత్స్యరూపిణ తద సముద్రముద్వైల సర్వద ప్లావయన్ మహీం వర్ధమానో మహామేఘే వర్షభ్య సమదృశ్యత ధ్యాయన్ భగవదాదేశం దదృశే నామమాగతాం తామారురోహ విప్రేంద్రే ఆదా ఔషధి వీరుధ తమజుర్మనే ప్రీతారాజన్ ధ్యాయస్వ కేశవం సవైన సంగడాదస్మా అవిదాశం విధాస్యది సోనుధ్యాదస్తదోరాజ్ఞా ప్రాదురాసీన్ మహార్ణవే ఏకశృంగధరో మత్స్యో హైమో నీతయోజన నిబద్ధ నామం నశృంగే యథోక్తో హరినా పుర వరత్రేణాహినాం తుష్టు స్తుష్టావ మధుసూదనం రాజోవాచ అనాద్య విద్యోపహదాల్ప సంవిద స్తమూల హంసార పరిశ్రమాదుర ఎదుర్చయోపసృదాయమాప్నుయర్విముక్తిదో న పరమో గురుర్భవాన్ జనోభూతోయం నిజ కర్మబంధనం సుఖేచ్ఛయా కర్మ సమీహదే సుఖం ఎల్ సేవయా తాం విధునోత్య సన్మతిం గ్రంథిం స విద్యాహృదయం స నో గురు ఎల్ సేవయాజ్ఞైవ రుద్రరోదనం పుమాన్ విదహ్యాన్మలమాత్మనస్తమ భజేద వర్ణం నిజమేష సోవ్యయో భూయాల్ సమీషా పరమో గురోర్గురు నయల్ ప్రసాదాయుధవాగలేశం అన్యే చ దేవా గురవో జనా స్వయం కర్తుం సమేదా ప్రభవంతి పుంసస్తమీశ్వరం త్వాం శరణం ప్రపద్యే అక్షురందస్యేదాగ్రణీకృతస్తథా జనస్యా విదుషో భూదో గురుం త్వమర్కదృక్ సర్వదశాం సమీక్షణో పృదో గురుర్న సుగతిం భువుల్సదాం జనో జనస్యాదిశతే సదీం మదీన్యయా ప్రపద్యే దురత్యయం నమ త్వం త్వవ్యయం జ్ఞానమమోహమంజస ప్రపద్యతే యేన జనో నిజం పదం త్వం సర్వలోకస్య సోల్ప్రియేశ్వరో ఆత్మా గురుర్జ్ఞానమభీష్ట సిద్ధిం స్తథాభిలోకో న భవందమందదీరు జానాది సందం హృతిబద్ధగామ త్వం త్వమహం దేవవరం వరేణ్యం ప్రపద్యమీశం ప్రతిబోధనాయ చంచింద్యర్థదీపైర్భగవన్ వజోభిర్గ్రంథీన్ హృదయాన్ వివృణస్వమోకాం శ్రీశుగవాచ ఇత్యుక్తవందం నృపదీం భగవాన్ ఆదిపూరుష మత్స్యరూపిహాం భోగో విహరం సత్వమబ్రవీల్ పురాణ సంహితాం దివ్యాం సాంఖ్యయోగ క్రియావదీం సత్యప్రదశ రాజర్షి ఆత్మగుహ్యమశేషదాం అశౌషీదృషీ సాగమాత్మనోత్తమ సంశయం నావ్యాసినో భగవద ప్రోక్తం బ్రహ్మ సనాదనం అదీత ప్రళయాబాయముత్థాయ సవేదసే హత్వాసురం హయగ్రీవం వేదాన్ ప్రత్యాహరద్ధై సదు సత్యవ్రదో రాజ జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞాన సంయుత విష్ణో ప్రసాదాల్ కల్పేస్మిన్ ఆసీద్వైవ స్వదోమను సత్యవ్రతస్య రాజశే మాయామత్స్య శాంగిన సంవాదం మహదాఖ్యానం శ్రుత్వాముచేన గిల్బిషాల్ అవతారో హరేర్యేయం కీర్తయేదన్యహం నర సంకల్పాస్తస్య సద్యం నిశయాది పరమాం గతిం ప్రళయభయసి ధాతు సుప్తశక్తేర్ముఖేభ్య శృతిగణముపనీతం ప్రత్యువాదతః త్వాం దితిజమగదయేధ్యో బ్రహ్మ సత్యవ్రతానాం తమహమఖిల హేతుం జిన్మమీనం నతోస్మీ. ఇది శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాపురాణే పరమహంసం సంహితాయాం అష్టమస్కందే మత్స్యావతార చరితాను వర్ణనం నామ చతుర్వింశోధ్యాయ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. సో విత్ దట్ ది ఎయిత్ క్యాంటో ఈజ్ ఓవర్ అండ్ వి విల్ డిస్కస్ ఫ్రమ్ నెక్స్ట్ సండే ది రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది 9th క్యాంటో. We'll stop today because there's a program in about 15 minutes here. So we'll again continue the next Sunday.
Yeah,
can I keep about
the
time prayers?
Yeah, I
can give you
the
time.
Really enjoy the class, though. Excellent. I'm glad that we got the part, but we can participate now.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean the prayers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why you give this one? That you may read
it? If you like, yeah.
are reciting it every day. So if you want to follow it up, yeah, you can follow it if you like. Have I made any mistake?
One of the verses of something missing.
Oh yeah, Sucha, Sachinanda, Rupaya.
Oh, that's the thing, is it?
You're going to do it again. Bring it next week.
We could just put an addendum.
And also there was one verse where there was a little bit more. I don't know which. I can't remember.
You sing them every day, do you?
No. I've just about managed to pick them up.
No, yeah. But how did you know they were missing?
Oh, because today, when Prabhuji was reciting, I was trying to follow this. There's one verse missing.
Next Sunday is the same. Yeah, I think we can have a class, isn't it? This not bad. Everybody will want money. They'll come to the temple anyway, so it's okay. Yeah, we'll have it.
If you could please just have a
quick look again. Yeah, I will change it again then. Okay. Sorry about that. I think what happened, I must have been doing in the office, you know, when you do it. Somebody must have come and interrupted it. Thanks, Bill. I must have missed that.
That's fine. Just let me know what.
I will copy it in the office. It's not a problem. I'll do one thing. I'll correct it. Mm-hmm. And I'll copy it and bring it. How many copies do you need?
I did about 50 today, but there's some left over, so...
Okay. I'll do about 30, 40 copies and bring it, yeah?
Have you got time to do that?
Time?
If you can, it'll be good.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Otherwise just correct it. And
Thank you.
See
thanks.
If I can get a copy here.
I'll bring it over.
Okay. Thank you very much. Very nice class. That is...
Papa sings this all the time. Every night.
Actually, it so happens somebody showed us this today on the internet. We got a copy earlier. We thought, okay, we'll take it.
It's a nice prayer. It is nice. Actually, I am not good in singing this thing, but there are people who are trained to sing this. You should listen to them. How they sing so nicely. Yeah, they are known for this. They are trained to sing Ashtavari. This is known as Ashtavari. Ashtavari songs. They are trained to sing this. And for family, for many, many generations, parents teach their children to sing. They teach their children to sing like that, you know.
And they sing it in a particular way.
It's very touching song.
You have heard Prabhupada singing this song, haven't you?
No.
Yeah? Hey, you not heard?
You
should hear.
But I tell you, giving me this, I think I'm going to try and sing it.
How Prabhupada sings that? Yeah? Oh, it's really very, very moving. You know, Prabhupada has got that feeling in there behind that song.
I'm so impressed. I think I'm going to start using it in my
sing this song.
Prayers.
It's a nice prayer,
I'll sing it.
And especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, before we come to Krishna. Just glorifying all Krishna's previous appearances in a nice way. And this is why Prabhupada took this verse to sing every day in the temple. You know that.
Yes.
Lord Nusamadeva's prayers. It's coming from here.
Yes.
It's taken from here.
Right.
Yes. That's Prabhupada's
Actually, some devotee showed this to us today. And she got the singing also. It's on the internet. You can actually get the actual singing. Right? And I only heard a little bit of that. Something went wrong on the internet.
Jayadeva Goswami has given the Ragam also, in which it has to sung. So you have to be a musician to sing it properly. We sing that. I'm singing just the way Prabhupada was singing, you know. I heard from Prabhupada singing that. So just doing that. But it's a nice song to sing. Yeah. You like that. You like that song.
Okay, I got some questions that I want to actually ask you, and I also want some blessings from you because I'm going to India.
When are you going?
Next week, Saturday.
Oh, next Saturday?
Yeah.
Krishna Balaram also going on Saturday.
Is he?
So a lot of devotees going from here on Saturday. I didn't know that.
So only I'm going because what I need to do is to do my aunt's ashes in Vrindavan, and then I'll be starting the Vrindavan Parikrama.
Oh, okay. They're going to Vrindavan Parikrama.
So I'm going to go and do that for 2 weeks or something like that.
Have a good time and come back.
Yeah, well, you have to give me a blessing. You've got to tell me what to do.
It doesn't mean anything.
It does. does.
You should pray to Krishna. Krishna is looking after everybody, isn't it? We are all dependent on Krishna.
Yeah, so we have to take the blessings of our elders, you see. Without that, and our spiritual masters, and only then will our visit be successful.
Actually, the last time I went to India, because of my blessing, it went very well.
Yeah. So please, Dinadayal, give me your blessing.
You're not going for any
not holidays or anything. You're actually going for Krishna consciousness. That's what you're going for.
Yeah.
So you don't have to think about any of these things.
You have to get blessings, otherwise, you know the thing with the mind, it's not stable. And if I don't get the blessings of my superiors,
you always have the blessings. As long as you are.
No, you give me a blessing. He's not giving me blessings.
I don't have anything to give to anybody.
Yes, you have. Too much. I have got blessing. My visit will be successful.
Oh, and pray for me too. Pray to Krishna, one day before getting